Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds that your word and Holy Spirit would dwell within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, on this weekend, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we remember all the events around Jesus' baptism, how Jesus came to where John was baptizing at the River Jordan. John used to go up and down the Jordan from Galilee down to Jericho and back over and over again to call people to turn their lives around. John preached a baptism of repentance, a baptism of preparation, a baptism to get the people ready for the Messiah. Because the prophets had declared that God would send the messenger ahead of the Messiah who was coming, to prepare the way, to make a road in the desert, a highway for our God, a spiritual highway, a smooth, straight way so that the message of God would be able to impact and grab a hold of the people. And so, John, it's been a long time, months and months and months, baptizing people. And John's message had caught a hold of many people. All kinds of people were going out to be baptized at the River Jordan, and they were going in these crowds. It says in one place that all of Jerusalem and all the Judean countryside were walking. Some of the people are walking 10, 15 miles for the opportunity to go get baptized. And if they are walking to the Jordan River near kind of Jericho, it's kind of yucky, right? It's sort of brown and warm and salty there because it's just before it flows into the Dead Sea. But that didn't stop anybody. They went out and they didn't go to hear John's eloquent words because he was just as likely to say, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" as he was to say, "Hey, you want to get baptized?" But he called people to open their hearts, to turn around, to have their lives actually reflect what they were doing, to have their lives line up with the person they said they wanted to be as they came to be baptized. And people sometimes wondered what that was. Tax collectors came and John was willing to baptize them, and they asked, "Well, what should we do after this?" And he said, "Well, don't collect more taxes than you're due," which was a big ask because often they were collecting twice as much as they were due, and they would give the half they had to give and keep the other half. So they were really changing how they were living. And soldiers came and asked, "What should we do?" And John said, "Don't extort money from people just because you have size, armor, and weapons on you. Just do your job. Keep the peace." So it's not that surprising that somebody else would come from Galilee. As John went back and forth, there were lots and lots of people coming, and Jesus gets there. And on the one hand, John knows exactly who Jesus is, right? It's his cousin. He's been with him a lot. Jesus' mother Mary's probably there when John is born. And it says in the scriptures that Jesus' family often went down to Jerusalem for the festivals, like for the Passover festival. And so they would go down and they had to nearly pass by Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John's house on the way. So certainly they picked all of them up, and they would all go down as a big family group together. We know that because the one time, if it was daylight, we could see in this window over here, when they leave Jesus behind in the temple, they are often going along. Well, they didn't go just because they thought they couldn't count to three, right? It was because I'm sure they thought Jesus is hanging out with John, and in this big group, everything's fine. And when they stopped to drop off Zechariah and Elizabeth and John at their house, they said, okay, and where's Jesus? We should get going. And they said, I don't know. So John has known Jesus. They're almost the same age. They're only 6 months apart in age. But something happens as Jesus comes to be baptized. John recognizes not just his cousin who he's known for 30 years. He recognizes God's presence in Jesus. He recognizes suddenly that Jesus is the one he has been getting everybody ready for. And says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. I'm the one who needs the gift that you are bringing to the world. And Jesus says, let it be this way now for us to fulfill all righteousness. For us to show that Jesus came humbly, not to lord it over others, but in submission, in openness, in vulnerability. And John baptizes him there in the Jordan, as he had baptized so many thousands of others there in the Jordan River. But this time, everything was different. Now, we don't know if anybody else saw what John and Jesus saw. It doesn't give us that. But it does say here in the Gospel of Matthew that as Jesus comes out of the water, it's not just Jesus, but John too, who recognizes what's happening, that the Holy Spirit is descending on Jesus and remaining with him. And a voice comes from the Father in heaven. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now think about this for a second, right? This is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The very beginning. Up until this time, besides getting left behind in the temple on occasion, mostly Jesus' life has been up in Nazareth, learning to be a carpenter and taking over the family carpentry business. He's been making plows and plumbing walls and making roof rafters and chiseling stones and making tables and all the kinds of things that a carpenter would do. Jesus hasn't been proclaiming the kingdom. He hasn't been doing signs and wonders. He hasn't been healing. He hasn't been proclaiming faithfulness to God. He hasn't been doing any of those things. And yet, as Jesus comes out of the water, the voice is, this is my Son, the Beloved One, with whom I am well pleased. Well pleased because of who Jesus is and who he belongs to. As he comes out of the water of baptism, the first thing that's spoken is, this is my Son. My Son coming out of the water. And Jesus goes through his ministry and does all those things that he hadn't done yet before that baptism. Preached and did signs and wonders and healings and suffered and died on the cross for you and for me. And rose again on Easter morning that we might know the salvation that we have needed and longed for so long. And Jesus tells his disciples exactly how to help people get to that place, to get to that salvation, to connect to it, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The disciples take that message to heart. And so when Peter is praying in our second lesson and there comes a knock on the door, he goes and there are Roman soldiers there and he is unafraid to go with them. Because the Lord said, there are people who need to hear the word about Jesus. And though they were Gentiles and foreigners, he didn't hold back and he gets to Cornelius' house. And there is Cornelius with all his family, with his servants and their families, with his personal guard, all gathered together for one reason: to hear the good news of Jesus Christ that Peter was going to share. And Peter begins to tell the story of Jesus, to proclaim the good news of salvation that comes through Jesus' death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit comes on all who are gathered there. Peter says, what's to keep these people from being baptized? How can we withhold the water from those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit just as we did? And so they are baptized. It's just one little group, right? The number of Gentiles who were baptized in those first couple years, it's pretty small. That one group of Cornelius and his family and servants, the Ethiopian eunuch, just a very few other people, but a ball starts rolling. And Paul is sent out to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. And churches begin to spring up, and people who never even knew who the Lord was, let alone having been prepared by the baptism of John, people who never had any idea that they needed the salvation that Jesus Christ offers, began turning to the Lord, began being baptized into Christ. Not just in remembrance of the water baptism that he received, but baptized into his death and resurrection. Baptized into the gift of salvation. And as they came out of the water, and as we come out of the water, the first word that is spoken, though we may not hear it with our ears and we may not see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, that first word that's spoken over our lives as we come out of that water, no matter who we've been before, no matter where we are in our lives, when we come out of that water, the word that is spoken is, "This is my child, the beloved one." You, I'm well pleased. Because in baptism, God claims us as his own. Claims us as children of God, inheritors of the promise, ambassadors for Christ, part of the body of Christ, those who are sent out into the world to carry the good news just like the apostles did. To carry the good news of Christ's forgiving love to other people who may have never heard about it. To other people who aren't at all prepared. To other people who have no idea that they need the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. We share that message in word and in deed. We share it by sharing the forgiving love of Christ and trusting that the Holy Spirit will work through us to touch people's lives so that they won't see, "Hey, didn't Paul Reichert come and do something for me?" Instead, they'll say, "Hey, God was doing something in my life that day." We find all that hope, all that promise in the waters of baptism. Which is why every time we have a baptism, whether it's a child or an adult, someone who has come to baptism after generations and generations and generations of faithful people on whose shoulders they stand, or someone who comes for the first time with no one behind them in faith, and yet the Holy Spirit has called them to the waters. Whenever we see that, our baptism is renewed. And we are renewed in hope, renewed in the promise, renewed in that good news. You are my beloved child. With you I'm well pleased.